Good morning to everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. As we approach Scripture, I invite you to join me in prayer. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and in love, and strength to follow on the path that you have set before us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning is probably one that is very familiar to you. In fact, you did just hear a part of it earlier with when Jamie basically stole my sermon in the children's sermon. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a child, every year at the George Hodgins Elementary School in Paramus, New Jersey, there was a spring pageant, an opportunity for all of the children to participate in this springtime display of our amazing singing talent. And through my first 5 years of school, I participated in the choir. Yes, me, stop laughing. I participated in the choir, singing a song that we had practiced all year long. But in my fifth grade year, the pageant was going to be a compilation of American folk songs. And that year, even though I was a very shy young boy, I was chosen to perform a solo, to sing "I've Been Working on the Railroad." And we practiced through the spring, our teachers teaching us to project our voices properly so that the audience could hear us. And the day of the performance comes around, and the afternoon was a dress rehearsal, performing in front of all the students and the teachers, and the real show would go on that evening for our parents and families. And when it came time for my solo in the afternoon, I stepped to the center stage, my big moment, and I sing, "I've been working on the railroad." And no one heard me. Clearly, I didn't have Barb and Noel as my music teachers. I sang so softly that even my fifth graders standing next to me couldn't even hear my voice. So we get back to our classroom after the conclusion of the show, and my teacher, Mrs. Schwartz, pulls me aside, and she praises the fact that I actually remembered my lines, but that I sang a little bit too softly, that the audience would not be able to hear me that night. And she reminded me of what I had been taught about projecting my voice, and that night I would do better. Well, the evening comes, and I'm on the side stage, nervously awaiting my part, fully aware of how much that I had messed up in the evening. And I can see, in the afternoon rather, and I can see how many people are there in the audience. The gym was packed. There were parents and grandparents, older kids. It was pretty intimidating. And Mrs. Schwartz is at my side, and she can see that I'm really nervous. And so she kneels down next to me right before it was time for me to step to center stage again. It reminds me to look straight ahead and project my voice so that the audience can hear me. So I walk to the center stage again, the piano begins playing, and this time one of those bright stage lights comes on me. I'm completely blinded, and I start, "I've been working on the railroad." It's like deja vu all over again. That's exactly what they did. They laughed. You know, performing in front of people can be nerve-wracking, and projecting our lives into this world can be like a performance. We have to live our lives out in front of many audiences. And I want you to think with me this morning about a couple of things. First, what audience are you playing to? Who is it that is occupying your theater? And maybe more importantly, what is it that you are projecting to them? What audience are you playing to, and what are you projecting to them? Now, my guess is that for most of us, if we were honest, we would say that there is not just one audience before whom we play our lives. Each of us actually has several audiences that we are playing to, wouldn't you say? I suspect that for many, if not all of us, our lives get played out sort of like on one of those rotating stages that circles before us different galleries of people. At one point, for example, we're performing in front of our employer and before our work associates. We act in a certain way as to engender the favorable response of those who sign our checks and give us our bonuses. Rotate the stage, and now we're playing in front of our families, our parents, our children, our siblings, our spouse. They're watching us play a familial part, and we hope beyond hope that they're satisfied with the performance that we give. Rotate the stage again, and we're acting in front of our neighbors, our friends, the community, the people that maybe don't really know us that well, but we want them to see us in a certain light. We want them to see us performing a certain part. Rotate the stage again, and now we're enacting a role before our church family. And they're looking to see how well that we behave, but maybe more integrated into this, we may be wondering about what God is thinking about our performance. And rotate the stage one more time, and we're performing before total strangers, people to whom we give little thought as to what they think about how we act, but we're hopeful that they see the real me, the me that I know that I can be, well, at least most of the time. All the world's a stage, says Shakespeare, and all the men and women are merely players. They have their exits and entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. We do play many parts in our theater. Sometimes wife or husband, a father or mother, a sister or brother, a coworker, a boss, a friend or neighbor, a patron at a restaurant, a customer at the local grocery store. We have many parts that we play in our lives. Now, the big challenge in life is staying in character when the stage rotates. That the same character and the same lines are being recited before the work crowd and the family audience and the friends group and the church family and the assorted strangers. Or to put it another way, if all of those audiences could be put into one theater, would we be able to not skip a beat or lose a line while staring at that sordid collection of life's audience? How would it be for you? What character would you project? How would it be for you to take all of the audiences of your life and put them into one theater with all the eyes staring upon you as you enact your role as a human being? Your child sitting next to your boss, sitting next to your golf partner, sitting next to your next-door neighbor, sitting next to your parents, sitting next to your brother or sister in Christ, sitting next to the stranger on the highway who just cut you off. How would it go for you? I suspect that for most of us, there might be some level of crisis that would arise when forced to play out before our several audiences all at one time. It's like going to someone's funeral and saying to yourself on the way out, "Boy, I never knew all that about Joe." Strange how you don't realize all the theaters that people play to. Would there be any surprises for anyone in your life when they come to your funeral and listen to your eulogy of how you project your life? The truth is, it may not only be overwhelming to consider bringing all of our audiences together and playing a consistent role in front of them, it may actually be the most challenging thing that we can contemplate doing. It may be, according to Jesus, the very last thing that we should really be thinking about is the audiences. Though the expectations of each audience may be different, though each audience may judge on their own accord, though we rise and fall depending on the demands of each audience, though all of this exists, it should be no surprise that when Jesus shares this new commandment, he doesn't change it for any of the audiences. Rather, he says that if you follow this one commandment, everyone will know that you are my disciples. All the audiences of our lives will know that you are disciples of Jesus if we love one another. He doesn't ask us to play a different character. He gives few commands that in a very general way determine how we are to act in front of any audience. And I also find it interesting in these passages where Jesus gives us commandments to think about the things that Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't tell us exactly how we are to love one another. He doesn't give us 6 rules of loving. No, we got to figure it out ourselves. We have to figure out for ourselves how we are to love one another. And I think that the reason for that is that as we figure it out for each one of ourselves, that love will become real. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Don't think of all the audiences. Don't think of all the theaters. But think of a single way of life that applies to every audience if we would just project it effectively. And if we project it effectively, we will stay in character no matter what audience we are in. Do you see it? Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's kneeling down next to us and giving us one last instruction before we step to center stage. Remember to project. Project love to one another. We do this also as a church. When we talk about our purpose statement that is on the front of your bulletins, helping people build life-transforming relationships with God and each other, what we're talking about is projecting love toward others. Have you ever wondered how you can involve yourself in that very goal of helping us as a church project love to our community? There are so many ways in this church. In your bulletin today is a form where the Stephen Ministry team is recruiting for a new class. One of the great ways that we can love one another is to listen to each other when we are going through struggles in life. Stephen Ministry, through the training and guidance of the leader team, provides tools to help you in fulfilling this command of Jesus to love one another. If that is something that interests you, I invite you to fill out your name on that insert in the bulletin and put it in the offering plate when the offering plate comes around. Last week, we heard from Doug and Eugene Jones about a new opportunity called the Fellowship Fund. It's a fund that was set up to provide funding should you have an idea of how to help build life-transforming relationships with God and each other. If you have an idea, go online, fill out the form, and submit it. It'll bring the love of Christ to our community. Rick just talked about this new opportunity of a potential union with Pleasantdale Presbyterian Church. While it was probably the first time that many of you heard about this union, as one who came from West Caldwell, the way that the Caldwell members received the West Caldwell members into this congregation exemplified the love of Christ. And now we will have another opportunity to do that again. Get involved in the process of welcoming Pleasantdale to this congregation. A week from this Friday, a group of elders and others are going to Church World Service in Jersey City to hear about what it would take to sponsor a refugee family. What an incredible opportunity this might be for us as a church family to love a stranger who has been displaced by war or something else going on in their own country. And this is just scratching the surface of the ways that we love as First Caldwell. And the question becomes, will you do it? Will you do it? Do you remember that haunting line at the end of Death of a Salesman? The family of Willie Loman is gathered at his grave, and Willie's lived a salesman's life going from account to account and deal to deal. He's trying to make something of himself. He's disappointed all of the important people in his life, but mostly he disappointed himself. He meets a tragic death, and his son Biff stands over the grave and says, "He never knew who he was." He never knew who he was. Who are you? You are a child of God. You are one who is loved by God. You are one who is called to project God's love into this world. So the young rabbi makes his way to the cross. And while the Sadducees watch and the disciples watch and the Pharisees watch, while the chief priests watch and the crowds watch and the Romans watch, Jesus seems rather oblivious to all that's going on around him because he's projecting the greatest love that has ever been projected. Greater love has no one, says John, than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. And we are God's friends. You know, love is the first fruit of the Spirit, according to Paul. And I wonder whether or not love is there first, because one could never hope to have any hope or to be joyful or to have peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control without having love. To know who loves you and that you would love the same. This is the commandment that Jesus gives us, the desire that he wishes for us to project. O me, O life, Walt Whitman says, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself, for who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light, of the objects mean, of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all, of the plotting and sordid crowds I see round me, of the empty and useless years of the rest, of the with the rest me intertwined, the question, O me, so sad recurring, what good amid these, O me, O life? And the answer that Walt Whitman gives, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you will contribute a verse. What is your verse? What is your solo to sing? Love one another, says Jesus. Project it. Amen.